Check, check. Check, one. Check. There it is. There you go. Okay. One, two, three, huh? Good morning. Welcome, welcome. What a beautiful Lord's Day. I don't know about you, but I'm actually welcoming the sunshine and the warmth a little bit since of all the rain we've had. So if you would, please be standing while we stand and sing and raise our voices up and worship God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace.
In need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child. In need of Christ, the perfect Lamb, my refuge strong, the great I am. This is my song, my humble plea. I am your child.
Please be seated.
We want to welcome everyone to our West Irwin Church of Christ family today and our worship assembly. All of those gathering with us online, welcome to you. A good crowd that's here today as well, welcome to you. If you don't mind filling out an attendance card that you'll see on the back of the pew in front of you, or you can use our app and sign in there. And let us know that you're a part of our assembly today. We would appreciate that a great, great deal. And of course, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and granddads and uncles and brothers and cousins and sons. And to all of our godly men, we are grateful for you. We are thankful for you. And we are thankful that you're a part of our church family. You provide such great leadership and such great service and so many different things that we do that are good and that help others see the love and word of Christ. And so, again, we thank you, and especially happy Father's Day. You have a gift that has been prepared for you. You be sure and pick that up on your way out this morning, and I know that you will appreciate that. It's a small thing for, again, us to say thank you and happy Father's Day. With it being Father's Day, we will not have any evening activities here tonight. This is small groups weekend, and so we're pushing that back a week. Next Sunday, next weekend, will be our small groups weekend. So check with your group and see what the plan is there. But there will be no 5 p.m. activities this evening. Our Vacation Bible School is in full swing. Got kicked off this past Wednesday. Redemption Ranch is the place where you want to be on Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Of course, we have a couple of adult classes that are meeting as well, and our youth class meets, but VBS, Vacation Bible School, in full swing at 6:30 on Wednesday nights throughout this summer. Tomorrow, I believe the youth are going to the Caldwell Zoo, is that right? Wherever, yes? Okay. Tomorrow, the youth are going to Caldwell Zoo and lunch. If you want some more information about that, then be sure and see Nathan Turner or Ethan Stone, and they'll give you all the information you need on that. There are a lot of prayer requests in our bulletin and on our app. I don't have really any new updates on any of those. We do know that Phil and Linda Martz will be in Dallas a little longer than expected. They're going to do his post-hospital therapy and treatment there. So they'll be there for about a month or so. So keep them in your prayers as well as the others that are on our list. One new one on our list, Judy Cowart, who is the sister of Danny Skipper, makes her the aunt of our Pat Kennett. She fell last night and broke her hip. Surgery is set for this afternoon, and she is out of town. So we want to remember Judy Cowart and, of course, Danny and Pat and all of their family in our prayers, not just today, but throughout this week. This time, one of our shepherds, David Wicks, will lead us in prayer.
I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we come humbly before your throne, acknowledging you as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. You are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. And your ways are perfect and true. Father, we confess that we are weak and sinful. So it's a humbling thought that you care for us while we sin against you. And Father, forgive our sins. Your word tells us that if we forgive those who have sinned against us, then you will forgive us. Guide our hearts in accepting and trusting your word, and to forgive those who have offended us. Father, we are grateful for all the blessings you've given us. We are thankful for the kindness we see from our friends, family, and for each one of us here at West Irwin. And Father, we're thankful for each member here, our staff, teachers, deacons, and elders. And we're thankful for those in the military, our healthcare workers, teachers, and all who are willing to help others. Father, you know the challenges and decisions that are required daily for us as we navigate through the pressures of life. And we ask you to give us wisdom and humility in all areas of our life. Today we celebrate Father's Day. We pray for extra measure of strength be given to the parents and grandparents and parent figures. Help them to completely trust you and stand strong before you and set the right example so that children will see you in them. In times when our journey in this life is not perfect, may we remember the power of your grace and patience. And Father, we ask for healing where it is needed. Father, we want the children, all of us, to long for you, to be present in our journey of life. We ask for your hedge of protection, for you are the ultimate Father who provides, protects, and guides us all. Father, we have many names on the prayer and care list. We bring these names before you for healing of our physical and spiritual needs. Father, we pray for Luke Skinder, grandson of Keith and Jennifer Skinder, Bob Latham, Phil Martz, Stan Clark, Candy Hilliard, John Shaw, Galen Siegler, Kara Mink's father, Jimmy Shoemaker, Jackson DeLivaday, Danny Skipper's sister, Judy Coward, and all the ones on our prayer and care list. We pray for their medical staff, their families, caretakers, and bless them with an extra measure of strength and patience. And Father, our thoughts are upon the family and loved ones in the passing, Dolores Kendi's cousin, David Ferguson, Michael Willis' cousin, Lloyd Click, and the Turners. Provide them your comfort in their time of sorrow. Father, we pray for the people who are affected by the recent severe storms. Provide them with the resources they need in rebuilding their lives. And Lord, watch over and protect the men and women who serve in our military, law enforcement, and emergency responders, healthcare workers, and all who dedicate their lives to serving and helping others. And Father, we pray for peace in our world. Provide the wisdom to the world leaders to seek peaceful resolutions that will end the violence of those who are caught up in it. Father, we're thankful that we are here in your presence. We're joined together in one body, one spirit, and one hope, with a hope that provides us assurance of the resurrected life. May we be pure, honest, and without fault in the way we live, and love everyone in the same way Jesus loved us. May our worship today be in spirit and truth as we glorify you with hearts filled with love, compassion, and joy. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought us eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, we're going to be singing How Deep the Father's Love. Ladies.
How deep the Father's love.
Good morning on this Father's Day. The table we get to celebrate Father's Day weekly with our Heavenly Father and the plan that He put in place to save us and the way that He did it. I think as most of us as fathers would do anything for our children and our grandchildren, as I'm finding out real quickly. Let's just go to Him in prayer and just be thankful for this avenue that we have. If you would, pray with me. Lord, thank you for this Lord's Day where we celebrate earthly fathers. We celebrate you, Lord, and we say thank you that you were willing to send Jesus down and give His body, and as we partake of this bread that represents that we can go to that cross at this time and understand that sacrifice that was given. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. How deep is a father's love? That's a good question. Easily answered. Yeah, we would do anything for our children, but would we be willing to sacrifice one of our children to save a lost world? I mean, I don't even like somebody running a red light, so I don't know. It's kind of a neat plan. Something that's hard to do and hard to follow, but that's why we follow him, and that he gave his son to show just how deep his love is for every one of us. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your son that you were willing to sacrifice for this lost world. Thank you for that blood that was shed to wash away that sin so we would no longer be apart from you. And if, as we take this fruit of the vine, let us just understand what we're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have decided that this is a convenient time to take up the collection to further the kingdom here at this place at West Irwin. I do want to say a quick note. It's in with giving as well. My son-in-law's mother is in a spot in her life that the sun is setting quickly with cancer, and she spent many a year devoted nurse in giving. So if you would just pray for us, this is something hard on our family. She is a great person, and we haven't faced a lot of tragedy in our lives, and this is definitely a tragedy for us. So if you would just remember us, we'd appreciate it. Pray with me. Lord, everything is yours, and we understand that. The blessings flow freely, and you send the sun, you send the rain, and it comes in the seasons, and the planets are perfectly in orbit to keep us from dying, from being 1 degree off. We can just go outside and acknowledge your presence, and then you add the concrete things in the Bible that we can take from it. Lord, the elders have decided now's the time to show some respect and give back some of what you blessed us with at this place. We thank you for those opportunities to further it. And Lord, just be with them as they make their decisions here with what to do with it. They've always done what you wanted them to. We know it will continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
us to all remember that today is the day that we said this moment ago, we honor each other's fathers here on the earth with our further fathers. But true, every day is Father's Day when we're talking about it, the glory to God. If you would please be standing at this time, we're going to have young men coming around and picking up the aisles. We do have our blast program for our younger children, and we'll ask that those folks be dismissed at this time and head back that way. In preparation for Bill's lesson for us today, we're going to be singing Where He Leads, I'll Follow. What a beautiful verse it says right there. Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dear by any message man ever heard.
I'll follow Jesus every day. At the end of the lesson, we'll make the statement, I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you have not decided that yet, if you have not to follow wherever he leads, if you have not decided to follow him, then we want to help you do that. And I hope that you will let that be known, either after the sermon time as we're singing or at the end of our lesson or at any time today. As we have said already, Happy Father's Day. What a blessing all of the wonderful men that serve our congregation in countless ways, that help lead us, that help serve us, that help us to serve others. It is such an incredible, incredible blessing. I appreciate, Sean, how you tied that together, the Father's Day that we celebrate with each other and our wonderful Heavenly Father that we celebrate every moment of every single day. Certainly true. I ran across something recently. It's just this great short little video, and it is perfect for Father's Day and baseball season. And since today is, well, both of those, I thought that we could go ahead and show that.
When on the injured list, bicep soreness. Pops it up. Nice job. While feeding the baby. Wow. Holds the bottle, no spillage, baby in perfect bliss, and a souvenir. Nice. Nice. That's sensational.
That is.
So not only did he catch the ball, he fought another selfish guy off. I thought that was just great. Dads can do it all. And as Sean said, would do it all. Whatever is asked for our families, certainly for our wives, our kids, our grandkids, our families, it's a wonderful thing of how that father protected and fed the baby and caught the souvenir all at the same time, never missing a beat. Was not willing to sacrifice any one of those three things. Just fantastic. The comments from that, this was, by the way, a 2022 Cincinnati Red San Diego Padres game in San Diego. The comments after that came were kind of this sort of nature. Some were saying, well, that was the best play of the year for the Padres this year. So I'm kind of thinking that must not have been a stellar season for them. And so again, happy Father's Day to all the dads that catch the souvenirs, that feed the kids, that protect the family, that serve the church in so very many ways. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul prays the prayers of a loving father. And as our shepherd David Wicks was leading us in our shepherd's prayer and praying for this church and for each of us to have that longing for the Father, that longing for heaven, I couldn't help but think that that is the same spirit with which Paul prayed for the church of the Thessalonians. Some of our Bible classes this morning spoke about the Thessalonians. We've been looking in a couple of our adult classes at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians for a few weeks here. And this morning I want us to emphasize the prayers that Paul offers in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians for that church that meant so much to him. If you remember in Acts chapter 16 and 17, we read about Paul and Silas and Timothy starting on what we call Paul's second mission journey. And as they go to a city in Philippi. He gets falsely accused, thrown in jail, beaten and flogged, and released the next morning, and then goes to the city of Thessalonica. All of these cities in modern day Greece. And in Thessalonica, they have some good results. There are people who become Christians there and are positive about the message. But some of the Jews that were there in Thessalonica, they didn't like it at all. And so they hired a group of mercenaries, really, some call them rent-a-mob, and made them leave town, forced them out of town. Not only forced them out of Thessalonica, but when they went to the next town, Berea, they sent the same group over there and forced them to leave that town as well. And then from there he goes to Athens and then to Corinth. And while he's in the city of Corinth, in the southern part of modern-day Greece, he writes these letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And they're probably the earliest writings of the New Testament that we have. Some might think Galatians. Seems like 1st Thessalonians and 2nd Thessalonians, they're within just a few months of each other. He writes because his heart is so strong for the church of the Thessalonians. And that's what he calls them in both letters. He had had to leave them before he wanted to. And when he did, he left them because of persecution, and he knew that they were going to be persecuted still, that they were going to have to suffer for the faith, the same way he had suffered for the faith there in that very same city. And so now he's away, and he's worried about them, and his heart goes out to them, and he's longing for them and to hear how things are going. And so he sends Timothy and possibly Silas to Thessalonica. Silas may have gone to Berea. But he sends them from Athens, and while he's in Corinth, they come back and he hears the good news about how they're doing. But in the midst of all of that, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul prays for them. And he prays the prayer of a loving father. In this book, in 1st Thessalonians chapter 2, there are a couple of images. One of them is the image of a loving nursing mother. That he speaks of how compassionate and concerned. He cared for them and loved them. But there's also the image of the loving Father. And these are some of the prayers that Paul prays as we've been going through these epistles of the Apostle Paul, looking through this series, Powerful Prayers. We're reminded of how desperately he prayed for them, how regularly he prayed for them. And in some ways, they all sound very similar. He prays for their care. He prays for their love. He prays for them to be faithful as a loving father would. He prays for them to have that longing for the Lord, for his church, and for the heavenly home. Paul prays the prayers of a loving father for the Thessalonians. And so this morning we're going to look at several of those passages. The first one deals with belief. Paul prays for their belief. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." As a loving, caring, compassionate father, he exhorts them. He encourages them. He reminds them of the belief and the faith that they must have that will help them go through all of the horrible things that they've been going through, encouraging them, comforting them, urging them to live lives that are worthy. A worthy life is a life that is lived a certain way in response to the great gift that we have in Christ Jesus. We don't live worthy lives so that we will receive his blessings. We live worthy lives because we have received his blessings. And this is now our response. And Paul encourages them, comforts them, urges them to live that worthy life. And he praises them. Because while he was there, they heard the word that he spoke and they accepted it, not as the words of Paul, but as it actually is, the word of God. Paul prays for their belief. Secondly, he prays for their love. He prays for their love. And let me see. Chris, I'm going to let you turn it because I've broken this too. Well, the second blank is love. 1 Thessalonians 3, there it is, 11 through 13. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holiness." Throughout 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he praises them for their love, but what he prays for here is that their love would increase, that they would grow in their love one for another. That it would be growing more and more. Even though it's in a great place right now, Paul says, you love each other deeply, and everyone hears about that and knows that. But I'm praying that that love will increase, that you will love each other more and more. And you will notice, I'm sure you have noticed, that when these six men get up and lead our shepherd's prayers each Sunday, that's one of the things that they always pray for. Help us to love each other more. Help us to be unified. Help us to help each other as we seek to live these worthy lives. He prays for them that they would love each other more and more. The third one is blameless. Blameless. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. And this is kind of a benediction, but it's kind of a blessing. But a benediction and a blessing is just simply a prayer. And this is what Paul prays for them as he closes this letter. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, verse 25, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He prays for them to live lives that are blameless, not lives that are sinless. None of us would measure up to that. But we can be blameless because we have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. We can be blameless because we are seeking to live lives that are worthy, that are worthy, appropriate, faithful response to the great blessing of forgiveness and life that God has given us as he, the loving Father, gave his one and only Son, as Sean said earlier. He prays for them that they would be blameless, that they would be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's very worried for them that they'll turn their backs on the faith before the return of Christ. Why would he be so concerned about that, Bill? Because they had every reason to. They were suffering so much for the cause of Christ. And if you just think about that logically, you think, okay, before my life wasn't as bad as it is now, and now it's really super bad, and I'm suffering a lot, and I'm afraid a lot, and I'm hurting a lot. What changed? Well, what changed was Paul came and preached this gospel to them, and they became Christians. And now the Jews of their town and also the pagans of their town are making their lives miserable and threatening them. And so Paul is telling them, I don't want you to give up. I want you to be blameless now, yes, but I also want you to be blameless when Christ returns. And that means trusting him, that belief, that love for one another, that urging of this loving Father, Paul the Apostle, that they would live lives that are worthy. As we turn the page to 2 Thessalonians, we hear him calling on them to do just that, to be worthy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. With this in mind, after he has been praising them, acknowledging the suffering that they're experiencing, the persecution that they're experiencing, but also acknowledging that Jesus is going to vindicate them and one day will make everything right. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Notice he doesn't say that God would bring to fruition your every desire. There are days, I must admit, when I'd kind of like for him to stop right there. God, just make every answer to my prayer yes. That would be super. That would be great. But that wouldn't be his will. And it wouldn't be his will because it wouldn't be what is best for me and what is best for his world. And so Paul says, we constantly pray for you that he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for God to be glorified in you. How is that going to happen? It's going to happen when we're worthy. Again, not perfect, not sinless, blameless, faithful, worthy. There's a right response and a wrong response to the great sacrifice that we've seen Jesus make for us. That deep Father's love that we sang about earlier. There's a response that is good and appropriate and right, and that response is to live lives that are worthy. We could never earn our salvation, but we can live lives of gratitude that express to God, not just in our words and in our prayers, how thankful we are for this incredible gift that we've been given, but that also communicates that in our lives, in how we live each and every day. This is what Paul prays for them, that they would be worthy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he offers them prayers of encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Another benediction. Just like we saw in 1 Thessalonians, Paul does this a couple of times in 2 Thessalonians. He has a bad habit of building up the hopes of his readers and hearers that he's about to end and then keeps going. I never do that. Never say finally, still have 10 minutes left. Never say lastly, never say one more thing. Joyce has told me, Bill, don't ever tell people that this sermon is probably not going to be very long. Those are your longest. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I think I'm convincing myself that I have all this extra time. That's my theory anyway. But Paul gives this wonderful benediction, this wonderful prayer at the end of chapter 2, and then writes a whole nother chapter. And granted, we'll finish with another great prayer. But what does he pray for in this prayer? In 2 Thessalonians 2, it's that they would have eternal encouragement and good hope. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may that same God, may that same Lord Jesus Christ encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I can tell you, because I've heard them and you have too, I can tell you that that's what our shepherds pray for us on a regular basis, that we would have that encouragement. And really, when you think about it, is that not the purpose of the church? It is the purpose of our worship assemblies, that we would encourage one another to love and good deeds, as Hebrews chapter 10 puts it. That our worship assemblies would be worship assemblies that encourage and edify, as 1 Corinthians 14 puts it. That's why we come together. That's why we meet together. That's why we need each other. Because we need exactly what Paul is praying for the Thessalonians to have. Eternal encouragement and good hope. The encouragement of their hearts to strengthen them in every good deed and in every good word. Worthy encouragement. And then lastly, direction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us. We've seen that already, haven't we? Leaders of God's people, such as the Apostle Paul, asking for prayers. Pray for us. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Just as the Thessalonians were suffering and were persecuted, Paul was still experiencing that. And as he writes from the city of Corinth, it's the center of sexual immorality, one of the centers of Greek idolatry and Roman idolatry. And he says, pray for us. Pray that we'll be delivered from the people who are trying to harm us, who are trying to keep us from spreading his message. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful. And so our trust and our faith is in the Lord. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Like the good shepherd that he was, the Apostle Paul says, may the Lord direct your hearts. May the Lord give you direction on how you should live.
how you should treat each other, how you should treat people out there in the world, how you should live faithfully in the midst of a world where not everyone is faithful. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. I believe that our New Testaments especially, but really the whole Bible, especially the New Testament, as we think of the church, was given to us so that we would know how to live. Even though some might say, well, Jesus doesn't really care how you live, or the Bible doesn't really talk about how you should live. It tells this great news of salvation through Jesus, and then it leaves it. Well, what that tells me, just as I told our Bible class this morning, what that tells me, someone who would make that statement, it tells me they have never read this book. Because it's on every page. How we should live. The kind of example we should be. The kind of love we should have for each other. The kind of encouragement we should give to each other. The reminder and the call to live lives that are worthy. Lives that are blameless. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Well, as we close this morning, and yes, we're about to. It's with this statement, our loving Father wants all these same things for us. That's what we pray for each other to have. That's what our leaders pray for us to have. Belief, love, growing love, blameless lives, worthy lives, the encouragement we need to do that, and the direction from God's word so that we'll know what that looks like. As we read these prayers of the Apostle Paul, and as we have read these prayers today for the Thessalonians, we're reminded that that's the exact thing that God wants, our loving Father wants for us today. That's what He wants for all of us who have decided to follow Jesus. If you need help and encouragement to do that today in your life, come as we stand, sing this great song together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time you have blessed us to gather as a family to worship you. Thank you for Bill's message to us today. Please continue to be with him, and thank you for his example. We thank you for our dads. Lord, continue to bless all the fathers around us. I ask that you continue to guide them to be a good role models and be loving towards their children. Please give them strength and patience to handle situations in a loving way. Lord, please be with the youth this summer. Help them to grow closer to Christ. Thank you for blessing Nathan and I with the opportunity to serve with them. I pray we are able to make an impact, Lord. I pray for us all. Help us to be a light to Tyler. Help us to bring more people to you. And please be with the members of our church family that are going through health and life struggles, and help us to be there for them when needed. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.